Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And we've made it to the Friday edition once again of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, it's obviously a long way before Election Day 2012, when we'll decide who the next president will be, at least for the next 4 years. Hopefully it'll be the new president. But Gallup giving us some encouraging news here late in the week, showing that President Obama is losing to unnamed Republican 44-39. Now, we know from some other polls that if you put actual Republicans up against President Obama, the only one who might have a slight lead at this point is Mitt Romney. Others trailing behind, but some of them aren't all that well known, so that's not a huge problem. The great news is here that Obama at 39% against random Republican means there's a great opportunity to take him down here.
Yeah, obviously, Greg, I'll begin with the standard joke. Everyone said, generic Republicans beating Obama. Great news for Tim Pawlenty. a lot of people, a couple commenters said, Mitt Romney is the generic Republican. So worth noting that when you say generic candidate of either party, you always got to be a little wary of respondents. Instead of saying generic, putting in their ideal. To some people, Sarah Palin defines what a Republican is, and so they'll put that in there. For other people, it'll be Mitt. Other people, it'll be Alan West. Could be anybody all across the spectrum. And so it'll mean more when you see specific Republicans beating Obama. But the more significant number, I think, is that the idea of Obama being only at 39%. And traditionally, 50, right around the 50% mark is where presidents get in trouble. So there is time for the economy to turn around. There is time for things to get better for the Obama administration. But this is, not where he wants to be. And I just love polls like this because they completely obliterate this conventional wisdom in Washington that I've been trying to hammer away at for weeks and weeks. This idea that Obama is cruising to re-election and that everything is looking fine for him. When in fact, no, it doesn't look that well at all. And conceivably, if by the early next year, this may look like a really ominous outlook for the president. And, good news for conservatives.
Yeah, it could be. And I hate to specifically compare two polls not run by the same company, but Obama's at 39. His handling of the economy in a Washington Post poll, 40. No coincidence there, I think. And that is going to be intertwined all the way down the road unless there's a major, major economic turnaround, which he, of course, hopes for and we all hope for. But that is going to be yet to be seen, certainly, given all the indicators out there. Most of the forecasts, whether it's S&P or Moody's or all the others out there, suggesting that things could actually get worse before they get a whole lot better. So you mentioned that Mitt Romney could be one of the generic Republicans. On to bad martini number two, and that's not the bad martini. The bad martini is that the man who, at least in one poll, is actually ahead of President Obama is probably not going to win the Compassion Award of the Week. He was down in Florida meeting with some unemployed folks because that state's been hit particularly hard in the last couple of years for unemployment. And here was Mitt Romney's explanation of how he's identifying with these folks as he met with them in this diner.
Well, I think I should also tell my story. I'm also unemployed.
Are you on LinkedIn?
Yes, actually. And I'm networking.
So the audio wasn't the greatest there, but Mitt Romney basically saying, I should tell my story too, since I'm also unemployed, which is probably technically true, but for a guy who's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, if we're going for the Feel Your Pain Award this year, probably going to fall quite a bit short. And especially when Republicans have a pretty good case to make that Obama doesn't seem to show a tremendous amount of compassion, having that little blurb out there is not going to help Romney or perhaps the Republicans.
Yeah, and I just know, obviously you hear from the laughter in that. Everybody in the around him seemed to have taken it in good humor, and nobody seemed offended, but that's one of those things where probably in person it doesn't seem so bad. On the printed page, that's not going to read as well. And I just think that, the irony is that if he just simply tweaked it a little bit, if he said, actually, I, like all of you, I'm also hoping to get a better job in the near future as well. That's a different way of phrasing it that doesn't seem as, drawing false equivalents there. This is not going to be a major issue for Romney, I don't think. And it's interesting that this morning he came out with a new video basically kind of repackaging his argument of, Obama characterizing our current economic troubles as bumps in the road. And he had, showcased Americans saying, I am an unemployed American. I am not a bump in the road. This one demonstrated there are 20 million Americans, which they say you could lie out end to end all the way from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. and back. So clearly Romney thinks he's got a good weak spot of Obama to just hammer away at. We will see a lot of this from Romney. Just got to avoid slightly off-key statements like this one that I think could kind of provide an easy opening for, accusations of being tone deaf or insufficiently sympathetic.
Yeah, I think it's certainly not fatal, but it could perhaps, for some folks, reinforce a stereotype that is not going to be helpful towards him. On to number three now, and I hope, I pray, I would love to promise this will be the last day we'll talk about this story, but you never know, given all the twists and turns we've seen. As we forecast on Thursday, New York Congressman Anthony Weiner did, in fact, announce his resignation, not in a press release, but he had to do it live in person. Why? We're not really sure. But if you did not see it live and you saw the version on the evening news or perhaps online, this is probably the sanitized version of what you heard.
So today I'm announcing my resignation from Congress.
Here's how it really went.
So today I'm announcing my resignation from Congress.
Yeah! Bye-bye, pervert!
So there's obviously a few hecklers in the crowd. It's believed to be from Howard Stern, and it wasn't just in that moment.
People demand to know!
To heal from the damage I have caused.
And there you go. So that's pretty much how the event went there, Jim. This guy just cannot stay away from a TV camera, even if it's blatantly obvious that being in front of one doesn't help him.
Yeah, two thoughts on this. The first is the moment he announced that he was doing a press conference, two questions immediately came to a lot of people's minds. The first was Andrew Breitbart going to be the opening act again? He did not make an appearance. He did not get to accuse all of the reporters in the audience of misrepresenting the story. But also a lot of people said, well, why not just issue a statement? Why did he need to go before the cameras? Why? He didn't take any questions this time. But, you know, it was Chuck Todd on MSNBC afterwards who said, you know it's going to be a circus. You know Howard Stern's guys are going to be there. Why would you do it this way? I would look at that and say, oh, I think precisely. I think this is very much what Weiner wanted to see. And I have the suspicion that certainly there are elements of that speech that indicated he doesn't think his career in politics is ending. It's just taking a hiatus, that he sees a comeback someday. I think that's a more difficult road than he may perceive right now. But, you know, obviously hope springs eternal in the thoroughly disgraced. but one of the things you kind of can see from this is that if the last thing we remember of Anthony Weiner is him getting subjected to these obnoxious, ludicrous statements as he's doing what everyone has wanted him to do from the beginning. You know, like he can't even read his resignation statement in peace because he's got to get, obnoxious comments about his private parts. That'll engender a little bit of sympathy. I'm not saying this guy deserves sympathy. I think he's invited all of the grief and aggravation that is filling his life right now. However, if we feel a little sympathetic about our last moment he's in this public spotlight, that when he reemerges a year from now, 2 years from now, whenever, and decides that he wants to aspire to the office of, say, Eliot Spitzer and be governor of New York and follow in those noble moral footsteps, that I think that, you know, he thinks this will help him. And I think that there's kind of something bizarre and disturbing about the whole thing. But this has been a bizarre and disturbing story pretty much since the first inklings of it.
Absolutely right. And as bizarre and disturbing and sleazy as all that chaos was, that wasn't even the most awkward point of the press conference for me. It was this line.
And of course, I want to express my gratitude to my family, to my mother and father who instilled in me the values that carried me this far.
Didn't you just picture them slinking out the back or slouching down in their chairs if they were there, just saying, you really could have left that line out. Thanks a lot, son.
I have a statement from his parents announcing that he was adopted. Gee, Mom and Dad, aren't you proud? Wow. Poor Wieners.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Jim, have a great vacation. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
I will see you in 2 weeks, Greg.
Very good. Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.